The words chosen for this morning are found in Matthew 25, beginning with the 34th verse. We read as follows in Jesus' name. Then the king shall say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needy, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these my brothers, you have done unto me." In Jesus Christ, the judge of the living and the dead, dear fellow redeemed. When we talk about the last judgment, this coming Sunday is the end of the world Sunday. When we talk about the last judgment, people kind of laugh a little bit and think that we're really backward. Most people believe that this old world is going to keep on spinning forever. Any talk about an end is considered to be so much foolishness and religious folklore. Yet God in his word says that the end will come, and there is nothing more certain than his word. Then viewing the last judgment, we first want to look at the Almighty Judge. On that last and dreadful day, the time of which no man knows, suddenly the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will appear in all his glory, the Victor Divine. Then he will not come poor and lowly, laying in a manger, suffering on the accursed cross. No, he will come in the lightning clouds of heaven with his angels and archangels, and he will sit down upon the throne of his majesty. Before his throne, all people must stand, from Adam to the very last child born. The dead will be reunited with their bodies, and they will come forth in an instant. That's going to be a dreadful day, because it will be a judgment for all. But for those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, there is hope. You see, the Lamb upon the throne in judgment is the same one who loved you and me so much that he went all the way to the slaughter for our salvation. Humanity lay in the filth and stench of sin because of the fall. But he came to live the life we were to live, and then to shed his blood, to wash away our every stain and mark, our every spot and wrinkle. So then, by trusting in his bloody cross and by making a regular use of the means of grace, we will be able to stand at the Lamb's appearing. Second, what's the basis for the judgment? The text says, "All nations will come before him, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats." Here, Jesus uses a pastoral picture. In the Middle East, sheep and goats graze in a common pasture. In the evening, the shepherds would separate their mixed flocks. A traveler in Palestine explains it this way. When a sheep came up to the shepherd, he would gently tap it on the right side of its head, and it would go to the right. When a goat came up to the shepherd, he'd tap it gently on the left side, and it would go to the left. in the outward visible church, both believers and unbelievers intermingle like sheep and goats on a common pasture. But on the last day, Jesus will separate his believing sheep from the goats. So then, back to the question. What's the basis for the separation? What makes us sheep or goats? The deciding factor is a trust in Jesus, who shed his blood to wash us clean. The sheep realize they can do absolutely nothing to save themselves. They were lost in sin, but rather they turn to the one who has washed them clean in his own blood, and they keep that faith alive throughout their life through a regular use of the word and the sacraments. The goats, on the other hand, want no part of the lamb once slain. The faith of the sheep is evidenced by the fruit that grows from it. As Jesus says in this text, those who have already been saved by faith alone, out of thanks, will feed the hungry, care for the needy, clothe those who are in need, and visit the prisoner. The reason they do those things is because they're so thankful for Jesus' full forgiveness. On the other hand, those on the left do not trust in the Savior and therefore have no real love in their hearts. Their deeds are worthless in the sight of the Lamb. And finally, we look at the result of the judgment. The lot of the two groups is completely different. Those who reject Christ have a most horrible end, eternal punishment in hell. And regardless of how much people will say about there is no hell or make fun of it, it's as real and certain as death and taxes. It will be a most terrible end. But for those who believe, Jesus says, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world." To the believers, the wonderful treasure of heaven is offered. We can never fully comprehend the joys of heaven, but the Bible uses a number of pictures to describe it. It's called the Feast of the Lamb, the heavenly mansions, Jerusalem the golden, with milk and honey blessed. And all that's to remind us that heaven is the most wonderful place there is. And it's even more wonderful than we can ever imagine. There, our heart's content will be fulfilled. We will see the Lord Jesus face to face and all our brothers and sisters who've gone before. Now, this entire text is written for our encouragement. An old German man sat at the table in Berlin with his son. His son was overjoyed because he had just received an inheritance from his uncle. He said, "Now I can go to the University of Berlin and become an officer in the Prussian army." "And then what?" his father said. "Well, I'll become a great general, be famous and honored by all. And then I'll marry a beautiful wife and raise a family." "And then what?" the old man said. "Well, I'll raise my sons to follow in my footsteps. I'll retire as a country gentleman, a Junker. I'll write my memoirs and enjoy my grandchildren." And his father looked straight at him and said, "And then what?" And the boy looked kind of blank and said, "There is nothing else." His father looked straight at him and said, "It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this comes the judgment." This young man was so concerned about the material things that he forgot about his soul. God forbid that that happens to any one of us. Rather, may we indeed keep that faith alive, worked in us in our baptisms, which trusts in Jesus, who washed us clean through a regular use of the life-giving word and the holy sacrament of his body and blood. Remember, the Lamb on the throne is also the shepherd who is holding us in his arms, and no one will pluck us out of his hands. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that you have pointed out the way of salvation so clearly and simply. You have given the law to show us our sins and the gospel to show us our divine Savior from sin. May we never confuse this salvation by mixing the treasures that you have brought upon us. Cause us always to center in your Son and send your Holy Spirit through the means of grace so that we will indeed be prepared for his appearing. We ask it in your Son's name. Amen. We continue with the hymn.